Lane Mitchell Show podcast presents another live Sonic session performance.
Welcome to Sonic's Booster Juice Listener Lounge, everyone. A special thank you to the world's most Canadian group. You guys are like a Canadian supergroup. It's like you were bit by a radioactive beaver or something. Is that where the name Mounties came from? Is that
a radioactive beaver?
Yeah. What? No, I just mean, I mean because it's a Canadian band and that kind of thing. Or is there more to the name than that?
I think we liked the Canadian thing, but that wasn't a big part of it, was it?
Maybe I don't.
It was.
Well, it was Rye's woman that came up with it.
Yeah. She said, "Oh, a bunch of Mounties." You know, she thought all these three Canadian guys. So we put it on a list of a long list of names that we were trying to figure out what we're going to be called. You know, Sky Mall, or we didn't think of Radioactive Beaver, but that would have definitely been
on. Yeah, that would have been short list material.
Which is
right
like, you know, Canadian supergroup. You guys could dress like Mounties, except Pharrell stole that thing with the hat.
We
you
can't
know?
Really dress like Mounties, though. No, because they own that image. We don't want to mess with that. We want to kind of forge our own spot.
Okay.
Well, we don't want to get sued, really.
With picking a very Canadian name, though, are you concerned about the image that that portrays, you know, in terms of your success internationally?
No, that's what we're kind of thinking would be the best part of it. You know, kind of erase the stereotypes of what people in international countries think of Canadians, you know, like it's all Mounties and igloos, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, this is something different than that. So they'd see us and they'd think, oh, maybe there's something more to Canada. Like, maybe there's a bunch of weirdos there, which is really
funny. Now, who here knows all the bands these guys are in?
Yeah. Woo!
Okay, why don't we introduce you guys, first off. Steve Bays of Hot Hot Heat, and you've got some other bands. You got all kinds of stuff on the go. Ryan Dahl of Age of Electric and Limb Lifter, Hoxley Workman. And who are you back there?
I'm Parker Bosley. I play in Gay Nineties and with Fur Trade with Steve.
Okay, excellent.
I'm also playing Hot Hot Heat.
And Hot Hot Heat.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've heard of them.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we get to a song?
Yeah.
What are you guys going to play for us first?
Tokyo Summer.
Yeah, sounds good.
Against the sky, it makes our dreams alive. We want Mounties right there, everybody. Had a little Sonic session with,
a whole bunch of great musicians, incredible musicians. In fact, did you get out to see Hawksley Workman's Cabaret show? I literally laughed so hard I peed. Like, I didn't smell like a phone booth, but I mean, people looked over and they were like, that guy's having a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
They could tell. Like, the harmonica?
Yeah.
That's worth the price of admission alone. It really is.
Thank you.
And I'm going to pay you guys the ultimate compliment right now. When I first heard, I think it was Tokyo Police Club's new album, there was a part of a song that I went, this kind of reminds me of Mounties. And I went, how can a band that has two songs have cultivated such a strong image that something can sound like Mounties? Like, how is that even possible?
I love that, if that's true.
And it doesn't sound like any of your other respective music projects. How did that come together?
That's what we found. We're not sure why.
It's just kind of an accident. Yeah. It just kind of fell into place. But I think we're all at the stage where we've been doing what we do long enough now that we're, I don't know, we just don't filter ourselves anymore, you know?
Well, I'm curious, you know, when you're messing around on your keyboard or your guitar or whatever, when you play something, do you go, oh yeah, this is a Hot Heat thing, this is a Mounties thing? How do you compartmentalize that?
I think because the record is made largely as we jam pop songs. You got three guys who sort of we made a living trying to write hooks that people want to sing, you know? And so when we're jam, we have some wine and we just play out like we're kids in a garage, you know? But the thing is, it's not like a blues jam or something like that where there's a long guitar solo. We're hungry to find that hook. And then once we find it, we start jamming into it and exploring those hooks. So the jams are almost pop songs written on the spot. And I think in some ways, everything else that I have ever done, the writing process is more what you'd expect, you know, pad of paper at the piano kind of thing. Whereas this is written from the guts, you know? It's a real... Mounties is very much below the shoulders, you know, and so I think we're not thinking in this context. We're just playing, and that's why we have such, I think, a giddy, boyish energy about the project. It's one of the purest things I get to do is to get on the drums with these guys and just lay waste, you know?
Well, I think it's interesting, too. You guys called the album Thrash Rock Legacy, but it's not thrash rock.
And it's not a legacy yet.
Yeah, like it sounds like I didn't really prep for the interview because you're like, oh, what's the album name? Tell me about the album name. But no, I'm kind of curious, you know, that's a statement.
Well, we had a friend that came out the other day and he said, I love it when you guys thrash. So
yeah, live it is pretty hard rocking for sure. But I do like the idea of planting loaded words in people's minds.
We just, you know, we don't really think about things too much, and I took this photograph of this boat and said Thrasher Rock, which is, there's a location off the coast of Vancouver that's Thrasher Rock, so they named this boat after it. I took a photo of it and I said, great album title, and they're like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay, I was kind of kidding, but so they stuck Legacy on there. And
it's a very cool name for an album. It's a weird name for a yacht, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think, we just committed to it, like, you know.
You got to be careful what you say in this group because we are all sort of word nerds. And if a turn of phrase just pops out of the ether, like, we're first to the iPhones to make sure that it's in the notes department. And so, you know, something that seems like a silly thought at first ends up becoming, you know, the title of a song or the title of a band or the title of the record. And it's just, we like yakking. We like having wines and yakking, and so funny things come out. And if you're keen to keep note of them, there's always like this, a nice list of funny stuff to read through.
My ringer's on actually right now. I just see maybe.
Clever.
But yeah, we keep, we're just constantly writing notes down.
Yeah, right down below the shoulders. He said that earlier.
Yeah. I mean.
Because we write stuff on the fly, so it's just kind of, you just glance at your phone, whatever you wrote down 10 minutes ago is usually the title of the song, you know.
Next album will be Ringers On.
There you go.
All right, do you guys want to play us another song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mounties, everyone.
Save the day from fading away.
is do you feel the same as you did that day? Is do you feel the same as you did that day?
Sonic Session. Now, when you look up on stage, I see like Jurassic drum machines. I see dollar store bullhorns. Maybe that's an expensive bullhorn. I'm not a bullhorn expert. I see a bottle of Tylenol. What is the most unorthodox instrument?
Carrie's playing, what's a shaker actually?
Oh, it is a shaker. It's not drugs, everyone. What is the most unorthodox instrument you've ever used to either create a recording or live?
Well, in the studio, it's usually six or seven analog keyboards, and it's all going through big guitar amps. It's all usually just old vintage gear that we've collected. But live, you just kind of do whatever you got to do to make it happen. So
in this case, it's Ghostbusters. Do I have an alien setting on it? No. Okay.
I'm curious.
There is like a weird alien setting sometimes.
Hello?
No.
Anyway. Isn't there like an auto tune setting or something?
Yeah, it's
we could do some share,
like,
you and I.
Let's
see, yeah. Hello? No, the weird one is just our stock.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
I was expecting I Am Your Father, Luke. Anyway, you guys have all been very successful in your respective sort of musical endeavors. I'm curious, when you set out to do Mounties, was this a creative diversion? Just kind of, we're having fun, so we're going to do this thing. Or is this the new thing? You know, is this, I'm going to set Hot Hot Heat aside, I'm going to set Hoxley Workman aside?
I think we want it to be a thing that we do a lot of, for sure. I wouldn't say we're putting anything aside, but we all want to do like this a bunch more because it's just really fun and it's super positive and it's just good times, basically. So,
well, you know, different bands too have such a different dynamic. It's funny, you know. This is an awful, awful example. I play in these two really crappy cover bands that have the exact same instrumentation in both of them.
Yeah.
And one of them is a very guitar-y band, and one of them's not a guitar-y band at all. And even though the instrument complement is exactly the same, some of the players are even the same, it's a totally different band.
Mm. Yeah.
How is the dynamic different in Mounties compared to your respective previous musical projects?
It is really different.
Yeah. You know, I think in a lot of ways, you know, we're all sort of quite self-contained. You know, I'm in the studio. I tend to play all the instruments. I know that these guys tend to play a lot of their own instruments. And it means that, you know, that there's a singular character in the sounds of our records, maybe, you know. And I think with Mounties, like, it's so individualized. Steve's sound on synth is so particular. He's got such a way with melody. And Ryan's this, like, sort of guitar god, but never with anything flashy, always with something spectacularly melodic. And then I just hit the drums as hard as possible, and it's like, somehow that's quite special. And I know what you mean, because as a kid, when I was, you know, fans of bands, and you could tell there was something magic in The Who, you could tell there's something magic in Led Zeppelin. Like, all the great bands, like, would never be the same if you removed one of the elements. You know, the Police, remove any of them, and it's not the same anymore. And being a solo guy, I always understood that, but had never felt it myself until I got into a room with these guys, where I know what we do specifically is unlike anything that I have ever been a part of. And it, I think somehow by switching it all up and removing the rules, we were able to sort of feel a bit looser to explore and to have the feel of the whole band be more experimental than dedicated to, like, writing a radio record or dedicated to being something specific or dogmatic from the outset.
Well, you guys have each sort of got some road miles on you, and you pick up habits over the years, right?
Yeah,
you know, what about on a personal level? You know, what are the dynamics like there? Are there big surprises, or?
Well, I think we're all trying to impress each other, so it's like with Hawk, I know there's certain voices that I can do that'll make him laugh, so I just do more of those. You know, like, hey, bro. Like, no, he loves that. I don't know why. But yeah, like, Parker and I worked a ton together, so, like, we kind of speak a certain language, and then, you know, Ryan and I have worked a ton together, just the two of us as well, and there's a language there. And then I've been working a bunch with Hawk on his solo record too, so I feel like I've got like a personal relationship with all of them. But then when we're all in a room together, we kind of just speak in like a weird kind of alien gibberish that is jumping between those, at least from my perspective, you know what I mean? Like, I know the Ryan things and I know the Hawk things, and then, but then you guys have your own connection as well, like, so it's like I don't know, 25 different relationships all at once. What's like, do you know what I mean? Exponentially, yeah. Each person that you put in the room increases the number of relationships exponentially.
But three people is easy because there's only three relationships. Whereas, you know, you add a fourth person, there's how many? A lot.
Well,
so we surround ourselves with, you know, Carrie Pratt, we brought on the road with us as well, you know. We surround ourselves with friends and people that we know are really great people. And so, I don't know, when you're around great people, you're influenced to be better and not, you know, when you have a dude in the band that's really negative or something, which we don't. It can really take a toll.
Do you want one?
Yeah.
I play guitar.
Yeah, you're super negative.
One last question for you, Ryan, actually. I was reading the other day that Brad Delson of Linkin Park says, you know, their upcoming record has a guitar solo on pretty much every song. And I was kind of thinking, is the guitar solo making a comeback? Sort of interested on your sort of industry insider perspective.
I never think of doing a guitar solo, but when there's a break, you know, I say, well, and Hawk has been a big proponent of just like, play more guitar. Like, you know, just, I don't know. So he's been like pushing me.
There's a real 60s rock approach to this, you know, like we've thrown taste out the window and we've let our audacity sort of take over. And for some reason, it sort of works. I think there's just a lot of melodies in the music, you know, like, and just, yeah, we're, you know, it's, it'd be. The cool thing to do would be like reserved and to try and be hip and wear the hip clothes, but instead we somehow are just these three dudes who like to play hard like we're kids, you know? And I think there's a joy in that. And like Rye said, you know, this is kind of our second time around, a lot of us doing this. And, you know, the music business isn't a place where you get a second chance. You know, you hardly ever get a first chance. And so I think, too, the other thing is we're savoring it with a new maturity, you know. We talk a lot about remaining positive on the road and things like that, things that only come with after, you know, 15, 20 years of touring where you realize, yeah, the tough days on the road are tough for everybody, and it doesn't mean you have to let your loathing splash all over everybody. You can contain it, and you can remind yourselves, too, that that one event of playing that show, that 1 hour, is so euphoric that it, the other 23 that are largely bland are kind of worth living because that one, you're going to get to leave the planet for an hour, you know?
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for being here. The album is called Trash Rock Legacy. You guys are playing tonight at Union Hall. And do you have one more song for us?
We do.
Yeah.
Can we take a second?
Sure.
Can we take a little break? Okay.
Because I just Ryan's just going to tune in.
Tune to a different tune.
Otherwise, it would be really
See, hard. Now would be a great time for a guitar solo, right?
Yeah, I know. We just had a bloody guitar.
Where's Brad Delson when you need him?
Hold on one sec, fellas.
Sure, guys. Sorry. This is really cool. So, I mean, I did this a few years ago, hey, I think.
Yeah.
It's really fun. It's nice to see the radio and part of the community, though. Like,
when, of course, Hot Hot Heat did a Sonic Session.
Right.
Have we had a Limb Lifter Sonic Session?
No, I don't think we have.
That was a hint. That wasn't a question. That was
rhetorical. We've been spinning some of the new rough mixes from the new Limb Lifter record in the van, and it is sounding pretty good.
Yeah,
it's a pretty hot record.
Thanks, Hawk.
I like that I'm going to have a fun voice to use for the clip when I play it back. This is what Hawksley says. The new.
This is pretty good.
Then I'm going to play the, yeah, that's awesome, bro. Sort of chop it together. I'll have my own little play.
Yeah, that's like a.
Should have that for the whole song. What do you think?
Sure, yeah.
It sounded really cool what we had this afternoon. Sorry.
Okay, cool.
You thought you were coming to see a professional show. And I like that. That 50s beat. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
Boston overall thing.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
Definitely much shaker, too.
We need one of these in wood panel, don't you think?
Oh, yes, sorry.
No more of those.
Just ticked.
Yeah.
Mounties, everybody.
Back out.
I'm
this interview and other off-air highlights in this week's Lane Mitchell Show podcast, free on iTunes and at sonic1029.com.